Well, good morning, everybody. I have my little church sign of the day calendar, and some of them are funny. Most of them attempt to be funny. This one today is, you can use this on your friends who should be going to church. If Jesus can rise from the dead, you can get out of bed on Sunday morning. Isn't that great? I love it. Okay, today I was thinking about our readings, and one thread that kind of goes through them all is this. God can and does work through anybody. God works through everybody. And here's some proof in the pudding is the first reading. What a fascinating reading. We have the story of King Cyrus, part of his life. Now, you remember King Cyrus was the king of Persia. But rewind, you remember there were three kings of the United Kingdom of Israel. Solomon was the last one. And after, in those days after Solomon's reign, the kingdom was divided into two. You had the northern kingdom, you had places like Shechem and Samaria up there. And you had the southern kingdom, and you had places like Jerusalem and the temple there. And so you had Israel and Judah. They used to be one. King David was one of the kings. Saul was the first one, and then Solomon. Anyway, then it all divides. And they divided for about 200 years. Everything was all right. But then the Assyrians, Assyria was nearby the northern part. They came over and conquered the northern part. And then about 100 years later, the Babylonians come and they take over the southern part and destroy the whole temple. You remember Solomon's temple? They destroy all of that. And they take those people, a lot of them they killed. They took the rest back to Babylon, where they were slaves and in prisons, and life was terrible. That lasted for 70 years, that those poor people, those poor Jews, were stuck in Babylon. We call it the Babylonian exile. But then guess what happens to those poor people, enslaved and miserable, is that King Cyrus comes. Cyrus was the king of Persia, and he comes over and captures Babylon. And then he has all these Jews, and he says, why are these people in prisons, and why are they working as slaves? Send them back to where they came from, Judah, the southern part. And so they go back, and they have their life back. But King Cyrus doesn't stop there. He helps to pay for them to rebuild their temple. And then he gets all the other governors who will cooperate with him to help out as well. And so they rebuild this whole thing. It'd be kind of like if you and I were taken out of St. Joe, and this is where we spent all of our life, and we were taken to another place and were slaves and treated terribly for 70 years, and then finally somebody conquered the idiots who had captured us, and we got to come back, and then they helped us rebuild. Here's the thing. Cyrus was a pagan. Cyrus was what some people consider to be a monster. Cyrus had no religion. He had no faith. He had no way of comporting himself in a good... He was not a son of Abraham. His ancestors, none of them had faith. And yet God worked through that man in an incredible way to restore life and things. Our second reading is St. Paul talking to the Thessalonians, the third church in Thessalonica. And the church in Thessalonica, or the whole place there, is a very pagan culture. And so Paul is writing to these people to tell them to stop being pagans and to keep the faith, nurture the faith, grow the faith, and then it won't be pagan anymore. And listen to what he says. He goes, brothers and sisters, loved by God, you were chosen. And Paul is telling them that, yeah, you may be a bunch of sinners, you may be a bunch of pagans, but there's hope for you yet. God can and will and is working through you to transform that place that had gone to hell in a handbasket. And Saul, Paul knew that, right? Because Paul used to be Saul. And the Bible says that this man actually literally killed Christians and persecuted the church. And then he had that great conversion. And he knew that if God can work through me, he can work through anybody. In our gospel, Jesus says, or they tell Jesus, the Pharisees say to Jesus, and they're right. They say, you are not concerned with any person's status. Jesus knows that everybody counts. And that God chooses all of us, or otherwise we wouldn't even be here. God can work through anybody and is working through anybody. Here's another little example. So a week ago, it was really neat. On Saturday, there was a guy, a 15-year-old kid who died in 2006. His name is Carlo Acutis. Carlo died of leukemia at the age of 15. And now he is one step away from becoming a saint. And it was really cool. A week ago yesterday, in this beautiful, huge, humongous church in Assisi, where he lived, he was from Italy, they had this great unveiling. Actually, he was born in London, but then lived in. But they unveiled the picture, this huge picture of him at the Beatification Mass. And here's this almost saint in a polo shirt and blue jeans. A kid who played soccer, loved soccer. A kid who played video games. A kid who loved to work on his computer. But a kid who loved Jesus more than anything. And you may think, oh, well, he was such a holy guy because his parents were very devout. His mom was a fallen away Catholic, and his dad didn't have good influence on those matters either. God planted in this young man's heart a love for Jesus that is amazing. He would go to soccer practice, but sometimes he would leave early so he could go to Mass on his way home, and he would serve even daily Mass. Sometimes he went to Mass twice a day. He would go to Mass on the way to school. Of course, in Assisi, in Italy, you don't have school buses, and you walk to school, and there's churches everywhere with doors open, and Mass is going on all the time. And so he would drop by daily Mass and serve. Carlo loved to pray holy hours, even as a young man, as a little boy. He got his first communion before the rest of his class because he petitioned. He made a website that is still on the internet, and this will all be in the bulletin next weekend. And that website chronicles, documents, all of the Eucharistic miracles that we know about. And there's a bunch of them. He made a website. He was the first one to make this kind of a website that put all of the Eucharistic miracles into one place. And you can still go there and learn. And we're going to have an exhibit here at St. Joe. I'm going to print them all out. All of the miracles that he has, about 80 of them. And they're all going to, he made these amazing info cards with pictures and information about these miracles. Why? Because he loved Jesus more than anything. And Jesus is the Eucharist. He is the Eucharist. And you may think, oh, God can't do anything through a high school kid. Baloney. Look at this guy. He is about to become a saint. He is going to be the saint of youth and the saint of the internet. And boy, do we need a saint of those things. And like, what an amazing inspiration. I've been watching YouTube videos on this guy. I've been studying his life, and I printed out a picture of him that I put in my prayer book, my breviary, and I'm praying with his intercession all of the time, especially that our youth will love Jesus that much, that they will use their gifts to the service of Almighty God, and that Jesus says, give to God what belongs to God, and what belongs to God is our whole life. Our whole life belongs to God. And here's a man, and he did discern priesthood, but of course died before he could ever go to the seminary. We don't know if God would have taken him in that direction or not. Now you may think, oh, that's just a holy guy in Italy. Here's a little letter I got in the mail the other day. I want to read it to you. It had a $20 bill attached to it. It's dated Tuesday, October 13th. Dear Father Mike, I am a former Protestant pastor at First United Methodist Church in seven of these churches in southern Indiana. I retired several years ago. I am 94. Today I was raking and sacking a yard full of leaves, and I fell two or three times in doing it. Suddenly, two high school age looking people came into the yard and began doing the work. I was amazed and happy to have their help. I tried to give them this $20 bill, but they refused and said I could give it to their church, St. Joe, if I wanted to. I don't know their names, but may God bless them both. We may be tempted to think sometimes, oh, this young generation, they have no values, yada, 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 yada. But then you see things like this and we realize God can and is working through everybody. Sometimes quite anonymously. And that's the point, folks. God works through everyone. And He wants to work through all of us. And when we give to God what belongs to God, as Jesus says in our gospel, He works a lot. It's a lot easier for Him to work. When we surrender and let ourselves to be like this beautiful instrument that God can use to transform the whole world and save the whole world. And so that's my two points is, number one, think about somebody that you think God can't work through. Maybe it's somebody in your family or some politician. And if you think God can't work through somebody or isn't working through them, then I'd say your vision of God is too small. Number two, how am I allowing God to work through me? And pray God, pray the good Lord that we are allowing the Lord to work through us generously and faithfully to transform this world and fill it with love and faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.